Here we go again. The GAO backs Boeing's KCX challenge. T-Alert's insolvency administrator says the company is back in business. And noted aviation expert Chuck Schumer is at it again. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, June 19, 2008. Just 24 hours before its deadline, the Government Accountability Office ruled yesterday to uphold Boeing's challenge of an Air Force decision to award a contract for a new aerial refueling tanker to Northrop Grumman. While the GAO can't force the Air Force to reopen bidding, there is considerable political weight to its rulings, and the armed forces rely on Congress for funding. The GAO rejected some portions of Boeing's protest, but agreed with the major issue, that the Air Force changed the rules in the middle of the game. Boeing had complained that its bid was clearly better matched to what the Air Force asked for, but it lost out to Northrop's larger, heavier aircraft, which outperformed Boeing's in areas the Air Force had said were low priorities. The GAO recommends the Air Force reopen discussions with the offerers, obtain revised proposals, reevaluate the revised proposals, and make a new source selection decision consistent with the GAO's decision. By statute, the Air Force is given 60 days to inform the GAO of the Air Force's actions in response to recommendations. The decision runs 69 pages, more than we can cover in audio here, but you can find more of the detail in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Even as the last few days tick down to full insolvency proceedings in the German courts, the administrator for bankrupt T-Alert Aircraft Engines says the company is back open for business and able to supply large numbers of complete engines and parts. Production had stopped in April after questionable financial reporting by company founder Frank T-Alert resulted in a cash flow crisis. Dr. Bruno Kebler was named the provisional insolvency administrator and found himself locked in a public spat with Diamond Aircraft Industries over supplies and prices for engines and parts. At last month's Berlin Air Show, Diamond accused Kebler of acting against T-Alert's best interests, price gouging existing owners needing parts and collecting cash payments up front for parts, knowing that the engine maker was destined to close. Kebler countered that Diamond had tried to purchase engines for cut-rate prices and implied that Diamond had its own interests in seeing T-Alert fold, reducing competition for a new piston diesel engine being developed by Austro Engines, a subsidiary of Diamond. Kebler says T-Alert is ready to resume production, and he's commissioned an audit for the process of recruiting investors. Next week, Kebler says he plans to approach more than 50 prospective buyers for the company. New York Senator Charles Schumer has joined with the airlines and the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey to fight Department of Transportation flight caps and slot auctions at three New York City area airports. On Wednesday, Schumer, a Democrat, slammed the DOT's proposed experiment as based on ideological market-based theory trumpeted by the Bush administration. Quote, instead of upgrading decades-old technology and hiring an adequate number of controllers, the DOT continues to miss the point. To make matters worse, the FAA's treatment of controllers has led to an unprecedented rash of retirements, thus compounding the problem, unquote. Schumer declined to elaborate on how next-gen air traffic control technologies or getting more trained controllers online might be accomplished in time for the start of summer. DOT spokesman Brian Termail called Schumer out on the senator's earlier refusal to support FAA reauthorization. Quote, Senator Schumer appears to be more interested in obstructing measures to cut delays than he is in modernizing the nation's air traffic control system and managing chronic aviation congestion. It is tempting to imagine how much better air travel may have been last year had the senator demonstrated the same enthusiasm 17 months ago for our proposal to improve the nation's aviation network as he does now in supporting higher fares, poorer service, and less competition, unquote. Meanwhile, another highly regarded customer satisfaction survey has documented the decline of the airline passenger experience. In its annual survey of overall customer satisfaction with U.S. domestic carriers, J.D. Power and Associates found passengers' opinions of airlines fell to their lowest levels in 3 years. That's not news, but this is. Higher fares and the new charges popping up are not driving the declining perception. New Mexico Business Weekly reports travelers pointed mostly to shoddy customer service, not high fares, when explaining their dissatisfaction. For the third consecutive year, flyers in the low-cost segment rated JetBlue the best and Southwest in second place. Among legacy carriers, Continental and Alaska led the rankings. U.S. Airways, Northwest, and United were at the bottom. The survey was based on responses from almost 20,000 passengers between April 2007 and March of this year. Up next on ANN, NTSB blames a 2007 overrun partly on pilot fatigue. Northwest announces its second cut in capacity in 2 months. And Alenia's first C-27J Spartan makes its maiden flight. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800 for Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 19th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The National Transportation Safety Board is out with recommendations for the FAA after reviewing an accident in which a Pinnacle Airlines CRJ-200 overran a runway at Traverse City, Michigan in April of last year. As ANN reported, Flight 4712 ran off the departure end of Runway 28, following a landing in snowy weather at Cherry Capital Airport. There were no injuries among the 49 passengers and three crew members, but the plane was substantially damaged. The NTSB determined that the probable cause was the decision by the pilots to land without performing a landing distance assessment, which was required by company policy given reports of runway contamination and deteriorating weather. Quote, "This poor decision-making likely reflected the effects of fatigue, produced by a long, demanding duty day, and, for the captain, the duties associated with check airman functions," unquote. Among its recommendations, the NTSB determined the FAA should require changes in rules regarding pilot workdays and share details of this accident with other airports to ensure proper language is used in conveying runway condition reports. You can read more details in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Northwest Airlines announced on Tuesday its second cut in capacity in 2 months. The New York Times reports Northwest plans to ground 14 Boeing 757 and Airbus A319 aircraft by the end of this year. The airline will also ground 33 of its aging DC-9s. The airline was flying 94 of the planes at the beginning of this year. Northwest also announced it will cut domestic and international flying by up to 9.5%. That's significantly higher than the 7% announced in April. Northwest CEO Doug Steenland reiterated the carrier plans to achieve the cuts through reduced service frequency and not by dropping any cities from its schedule completely. Some jobs will also be cut, but Northwest has yet to release a firm number. Though Northwest says the cuts are part of its battle with high fuel prices, those cuts coincidentally also better position the airline for its pending merger with Delta. Alenia North America announced on Tuesday the first C-27J Spartan for the U.S. Army's joint cargo aircraft successfully completed its maiden flight at the Alenia facility in Turin, Italy. Giuseppe Giordo, President and Chief Executive Officer of Alenia North America, said the flight demonstrates Alenia's clear capability to achieve critical program milestones. Quote, "On this great day, we also look forward to many more important milestones, including the industrialization of the C-27J in the United States," unquote. JCA No. 1 took off from Alenia's Caselli plant on Monday in poor weather conditions and remained in flight for 40 minutes. The flight included takeoff, functional checks, and landing operations. This marks the beginning of 70 hours of flight tests and 180 hours of ground tests, most of which will be conducted in Caselli. As ANN reported, the team of L3 and Alenia won the $2 billion contract in June last year for up to 78 aircraft for the U.S. Army and Air Force, but follow-on contracts as well as international, foreign military, and variant sales are expected to push the aircraft number over 200. The C-27J Spartan has been in production in Italy since 2001, with deliveries to Bulgaria, Greece, Italy, and Lithuania. The plane has also been selected by Romania, with contract negotiations currently underway. The C-27J will replace the U.S. Army's C-23 Sherpa, C-12, and C-26, and augment the U.S. Air Force's existing fleet of intra-theater airlifters. The fatal crash on March 3rd of a Russian Mil-17 helicopter ferrying 10 people from a camp for former Maoist rebels in Nepal has been blamed on pilot error. CNN reports Nepalese investigators say the Helos pilot failed to check weather conditions along his route before takeoff and was unfamiliar with the terrain. Both factors came into play, according to a report by the investigating commission. Nagendra Prasad Gimiri, Joint Secretary of the Civil Aviation Ministry and a member of the Investigation Commission, said the pilot lost control of the Helo and also failed to disengage the autopilot and perform an auto-rotative landing. Still ahead, the Phoenix lander is baking Martian soil and still digging it. Khrunichev says it's fixed the problem with the Breeze M launch vehicle. And what's worse for your roof than a blue ice attack? You're listening to Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, June 19th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Early fears of defective hardware aboard the Phoenix Mars lander are easing. NASA reports one of the ovens on the craft continued baking its first sample of Martian soil over the weekend, while the robotic arm dug deeper into the soil to learn more about white material that was first revealed on June 3rd. Phoenix co-investigator Bill Boynton of the University of Arizona at Tucson says the oven is meeting expectations. Phoenix has 8 separate tiny ovens to bake and sniff the soil and look for water and evidence of the ingredients for life. The Associated Press reports Boynton admits the white substance found apparently was not ice. After the sample was heated, quote, "We saw no water in the soil whatsoever," unquote. Scientists are using the lander's robotic arm to enlarge a trench they've named Dodo Goldilocks. They've determined that the light-colored substance they've uncovered is not continuous through the trench, and say they'll watch to see if it sublimates or causes frost to form, either of which would indicate that it might be ice. A failure review oversight board convened by International Launch Services has cleared Russia's Proton Breeze M launch vehicle to return to flight this summer. The announcement follows a review of research into a March 15th satellite launch from the Baikonur Cosmodrome, in which the Breeze M upper stage shut down early, requiring that a satellite be released into a lower-than-planned orbit. Investigators say the failure was caused by a ruptured exhaust gas conduit, which is being replaced by one with thicker walls. The Russian manufacturer, Khrunichev, says testing shows the modification has resolved the problem. The next scheduled use of the Breeze M is contracted to Inmarsat, but no firm date has yet been set. ILS will begin briefing customers and their insurance underwriters on program status starting in July. The owner of a suburban Moscow home plans to sue the Russian government after Air Force cloud seeders dropped a 55-pound bag of cement on her house from high altitude. Reuters reports the error made a hole about 3 feet in diameter in the woman's roof. On Tuesday, Local police explained to the RIA Novosti News Service, quote, a pack of cement used in creating good weather in the capital region failed to pulverize completely at high altitude, unquote. He's talking about a cloud seeding mission to reduce chances of rain during a parade scheduled for June 12th, the anniversary of the breakup of the Soviet Union. Up to 12 aircraft are used, all carrying silver iodide, liquid nitrogen, and cement powder to dry up moisture. Last week's incident was reportedly the first glitch in 20 years of the practice. Nobody in the home was injured, but the homeowner has turned down a settlement offer equivalent to about $2,100 U.S. and says she'll sue for damages. And finally, residents of Vancouver, B.C. are a little creeped out by a recent phenomenon. Human feet washing up on the shores of area waterways. The first foot was found last August on Gabriola Island. The fifth was found, still wearing a shoe, on Monday by a man walking along the Fraser River. Police declined to describe the latest foot by size or whether it was a man or woman's, but they did reveal that it was the first left foot to be found. The other four were all right feet encased in running shoes. The coroner insists there's no evidence the feet were severed or of any crime. Experts say that feet normally become detached from the legs of people who die in the water as the flesh decays, in a process called disarticulation. Because they're in shoes and have a chemical makeup avoided by microbes, feet may persist longer than other body parts. Complicating the investigation by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police is the fact that the feet could have traveled a great distance, carried from the other side of the world by ocean currents. Relatives of four victims of a plane crash off the BC coast 3 years ago have provided DNA samples in case the feet originated closer to where they were found. The Mounties, famous for always getting their man, are determined to solve this mystery even if it turns out not to involve foul play. So far, investigators don't even know if the feet are from a common accident or location. RCMP spokeswoman Annie Lintow says, quote, we're looking at all possibilities, and that includes that they could have been connected, unquote. Well, duh. At one time, of course, they were connected. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll hear excerpts from Newt Gingrich's speech at the Aircraft Electronics Association's convention, April 25th, at the Gaylord National Resort in Washington, D.C. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.